space, the final frontier. These are the voyagers of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't starve us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raise on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California.
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. October 26th. And what is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Doc, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
We want. seven cents. They traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky is the ending, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There beamed a light hit the ground.
Journey of a thousand. a bird. crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus, sir? Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science on www.shazizradio.com. We woke up in the same crazy world that we were in yesterday. So anyway, I set the old alarm clock, see? And this hasn't been like the first time this ever happened to me. I set the alarm clock. And either I have gone completely and utterly deaf, or I didn't actually hear it. So I got up and I'm like, I gotta salvage this mess. What a mess. So we had a very, very, very long intro on there. Hope you enjoyed the music, and I'll get my brain going here. Got my coffee and wait for a few people to show up. But anyway, in the process of all this, started racking my brain. What am I going to do my show about today? It's like, I usually have a couple hours ahead of time to research a few things that I want to talk about. And just drew a blank. Just a big old blank. We woke up in the same world that we was in yesterday. Been watching a lot of this stuff about the whole Mandela effect. Don't know if you've ever looked into it, but there's like half the population believes that things were one way and the other half the population believed that things were the other way. You got a big old Hadron Collider out there supposedly slamming molecules into each other for research into all kinds of things, from everything from black holes to the Higgs boson, or the God particle, as they'd like to call it. And I think about the money that went into building a lab such, so elaborate as that, a big, giant lab. I can't even remember how many miles in diameter this thing is. But that's pretty good size. And you're going to get these particles up to, you know, beyond speeds that, you know, comprehension, and you gotta slam them into each other and get little flashes and see little, you know, things and measure them and make your theories on what's going on, when in reality they haven't even got a clue what they're doing. You know, I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen the series Sliders, but it's pretty interesting about multi-dimension, just world after world after world, and every single world is just slightly different than the other. Well, essentially, that's what the Mandela effect is. Now, whether it is or it ain't, I do know that we did wake up in the same world we were in yesterday. Now, is anything slightly different than it was yesterday? I don't know, probably. I know my alarm clock is. I'll have to get that resolved, because I can't keep waking up 1 minute before the show and then trying to figure out, well, boy, I better run, see what I can do. So anyway, I apologize for that. And I'm sitting here thinking about electricity in general, all these different devices and all these different big giant laboratories that have access to tools and technology that you know, kind of speeds up their process. See, imagine you get an idea and you want to build this idea, but you have to wait around for you to be able to gather up the parts necessary to build the idea. You know, it's kind of aggravating it sometimes. Sometimes you stumble onto things that are already made and you find alternative uses for it. You see, you'll pop a video out there on YouTube and show some folks, hey, check out what happens when you do this with this little washing machine motor or this washing machine pump or whatever, you know. And this is a good permanent magnet motor that you can do experiments with in, you know, alternative energy and stuff like that. So basically, you're just kind of like picking around all the recycled, repurposed things that you found and trying to work something out. And then when you do get something worked out, you try to share it with the world. But it's almost as if this world is so addicted to itself that you just can't talk to many folks about it. The whole Mandela effect. Go out there and look at it. Watch how many people are talking about it. There's actually a conspiracy out there, believe it or not, whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is round, whether the earth is concave or convex or hollow even, whether the moon's hollow, whether the sun is only 3,000 miles in diameter or 3,000 miles away or whatever. Same thing with the moon. Did we or didn't we go to the moon? I have to wonder about this world's mentality, because what you were taught in school in basic science isn't necessarily what the actual reality of this matrix that we find ourselves living in. And so, just like Nikola Tesla back in his day wanted to basically give everybody free energy because there wouldn't be no reason to fight over resources such as coal or oil or anything for that matter. Because, you know, once that problem was solved, then humanity could go on and make advancements in other portions of the deal. But it didn't quite work out like that because of greed, and people wanted to be able to make money. There wasn't a way to put a meter on it, so we got to shut this down. We can't have everybody having free electricity. How are we going to make money off of it? And so, to some extent, I feel like I pick up a torch that was passed on by Nikola Tesla and others like him that had ideas that would want to benefit mankind to the extent so that we could actually make some positive advancements in the world. Now, personally, I don't think I'm nowhere near the level of brilliance that Nikola Tesla was, but I still had the same kind of dream that if we could actually get things necessary to the world as a whole, as opposed to just the world as a few, and we could make advancements in this world. We could make advancements if there is outer space, then we could actually travel through outer space. Inner space. We could travel through inner space. Time itself. Dimensional travel, whatever. I believe that mankind is only limited by the imagination. And so, as in some realms where the theory goes that we're just living inside a big hologram. Well, let's make it the best hologram we can. That's what I'm thinking, you know. If you gotta be there, you're gonna make the best out of a bad situation. So, I don't know exactly what size the Earth is, and I don't know exactly what size the Sun and the Moon are. I mean, I can tell you what my perceptions of things are, whether the earth is flat or whether it's round or whether we have or haven't been to space or whether we live in a dome or whatever. That science and modern science and science that they teach the kids in school, none of it all jives with each other anyway. So who's to say what reality really is? We do know that we are told that on certain portions of this planet that there are people doing without. You know? If it's hot where these people live, and dry, and they choose to stay there, they choose to want to live there, we can at least show them how, give them the option to be cool and have water, you know, or to be warm and have water, food, and everything that they need, you know. We have that knowledge, we have that technology to literally grow food in some of the most hostile environments. We have the knowledge on how to purify water. We have the knowledge on how to do so much. Yet people still, to this day, we're told, are doing without. You know, you can see it in some of your local communities with some of the people that are around you, people that might be homeless or might just be... you know, living kind of the fine line between dirt poor and homeless. But when I woke up this morning, at least for myself, I was still in the same world that I left from yesterday, as far as I can tell. And I still had a mission in life to try to bring to everybody the dream of alternative free energy, to prove once and for all that we are floating in a sea of energy. And it's undeniable, because if you break down any compound, or even yourself, to its finest molecules, there's no ifs, ands, or, buts, whatever, that you yourself are energy. With all the ranges of radio frequencies throughout the entire world, with sunlight, all the different light spectrums, all the different directions in which the wind blows and the water flows, and even the earth itself shaking, heating and cooling. We have unlimited potential that if we plugged into the proper spot anywhere on this globe, it doesn't matter where it is, we could literally tap into what nature has already provided and be able to power every single home and then some throughout the entire planet, globe or flat earth, whichever one makes you happy. But society not only has a problem that governments don't want you doing this, environmentalists don't want you doing this, and sometimes, and a lot of times, even those who are enslaved by the system don't want you doing this. It's like that deal in the Matrix where the man was telling him there are some in the Matrix that will literally fight you with everything they got just to remain there, because they're comfortable there, they're safe there, everything is what they know. And you actually find that in the educated, so-called educated individuals of the world. Instead of agreeing and disagreeing in a respectful manner and trying to encourage you to continue thought, they want to degrade you and cuss you and whatever they can to make you feel less and inferior to their superior being, so to speak. As if they want to feel better about the knowledge that's in their head by putting yours down. I don't understand why somebody who is so educated can't look out and see into this world. If there's somebody starving on this side of the planet, and we know how to do hydroponics, aquaponics, hydrogen technology, solar, wind, then why is that someone over there still starving, according to what we're told? Nobody can answer that question. Looks like Raymond calling in there. Hi, Raymond, how you doing, brother? You're live on air. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said you're live on air.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. There are so many potentials in this world, yet we still have individuals out there who were told that are starving. We got the technology to do exactly what it is that we're saying, but I still woke up in the same exact world that I was in yesterday. No changes. If they are, they're so minute that I didn't notice. So, here I am again, standing in front of a microphone, sending a wave out, trying to wake up individuals out there to the reality of the word potential. That we can actually do things if we really put our mind to it. We could actually do things if we actually came together and done it. If we're here in the year 2016 and there are still individuals out there who are literally starving to death, with the knowledge that we talk about all the time that could resolve each and every issue out here, I don't get it. Unless it's what the people want to occur. This drama, this whole suffering and war and destruction and stuff. Maybe that's the world that they really want to live in. That's the world that I got to try and figure out how to get out of. Because I don't agree with this world. It's crazy. And those folks waiting around for the alien spaceships to land and to share their technology and take you to boldly go where no man has gone before, I think you're going to be seriously disappointed. Because if there was an alien race out there, and they came down to visit this earth, they would have had many thousands of years ahead of you to really figure things out and to actually get it, you know. I'm sure that on their planet, there is no such thing as starvation. They figured it all out. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. But they're not going to want to talk to you because essentially, you're like that ant underfoot that you don't like. You'll reach down and smoosh if it gets in your way. So, if mankind is ever to make a leap forward, a step forward, even in the baby step realm, then it's going to take mankind to get it, to figure things out. And so that's the time when those brains, such as myself and others out there who do research in alternative energy, should be encouraged, not discouraged. If all the brains out there who come up with ideas, and I've watched this many, many times, somebody will come to me and ask me a question, and they'll always, at the end of that question, say, well, don't think I'm stupid. It's just, you know, my ideas or whatever. But they have been taught through their life that there are such things as stupid ideas. And for them to not feel comfortable enough to talk to people about it shows that the way that society is today is that if you speak outside the school book, you're nuts. So why would any aliens from millions of light years away want to come down and talk to a less significant species or being or whatever? Especially looking across the globe or the flat earth, whichever one chooses you choose and makes you happy. why would they want to talk to us when all we're doing is either killing each other or allowing each other to starve? We haven't reached this plateau of enlightenment. We haven't reached this plateau of education and knowledge to where we could actually even figure things out. We got amazing cell phone technology. We got amazing computer and networking technology. We have access to technology in all kinds of different energies. But none of it matters if there's still somebody on this planet doing without. None of it. All this work that we do on the side and then research that we do trying to share with the world is pretty much all wasted. It is, to us, it's a worthy effort. And to some, it's a worthy effort. But to the world as a whole, all this thing about free energy or alternative energy or clean renewable energy, green energy, whichever you want to call it, because there's many different labels and terminology that's actually put on what we're trying to do here. And the simple of it, whether it be alternative medicine, alternative energy, alternatives to the system out there, none of it's going to matter. You know, a warning is only a warning if it's heard and heeded. So, I just woke up this morning, my alarm clock didn't go off 1 minute before the show, and I got to thinking, should I or shouldn't I make the effort to move forward? And the should I portion of me worked. So I'm here. But in the process of trying to figure out what it is that I was wanting to do this show about, because as I told you, I usually have a couple hours prior to prepare and look into alternative energy things out there. I even had a troll jump in there one time and tell me that all I do is feed off of everybody else's work. They obviously don't know me, and they obviously haven't watched any of my videos or YouTube, you know, whatever. They obviously haven't heard none of the radio shows that have been done for at least 2-3 years or more. But I wonder if that troll has ever went way out of his way or her way or whatever to go to a foreign land and actually do something, teach them or feed them or stop a war or anything for their, even their local community, to the extent that maybe they put their life on the line every day to try to help them out, and maybe they tried to help educate people and pass information on. I just wonder what positive.
Can I say something right now?
Go ahead.
Especially about soul food, that all you do is feed off of other people. In reality, isn't that what we're asking other people to do? To feed off of us? And again, in reality, isn't that what we're, you and I, Scott, Thomas, all of us, on this radio show, isn't that what we do, feed off of each other's ideas to expand on our own? I mean, how many times have you done something that would have got me excited and I didn't even think about it until I saw you do it? I feed off of you. You feed off of me. I've been things you get excited about, and you try to do it a little different, make it better. That's the whole thing. We do feed off of each other, but not the only thing we do. You do experiment. You do things. You don't only feed off of everybody else. You do your own work. I do my own work. You show me yours. Okay, that's great. I try to expand on it or try to work in something that I'm doing. We do feed off because we need to. If we don't eat, we don't live. And we live to experiment and to do better things for the world and the people out there. That's what we're, that's our whole main life driving force, is to help other people. And we beg to please feed off of us and give us food back. Use the permit. Use the trial things. Tell us what you're doing. Show us what you're doing. Share with the world.
I agree. Okay. I agree. That's what we've been trying to say for a long time. We know that we're told that there's things going on in the world. And when we run across something like that, then we try to address it immediately. If it's in our neighborhood or even out of our neighborhood, if we're traveling through life and in whichever path that we find ourselves on, doesn't matter if we're in your country and we see somebody in need, that's the way that Raymond and I and Muddy and others... Hold on. I gotta try to add somebody else to this call here, Raymond.
Okay.
I hope that...
Who is it?
I don't know yet. We're gonna take a quick music break.
Okay.
And I'm gonna play some of Thomas's favorite tunes there. Anyway, folks, we're gonna take a quick music break and possibly add some folks to this call. So stay tuned, you're listening to Mad Science.
Hey, Dr. Steele, look at my new trumpet.
Well, that is a fine trumpet, soldier. Wow, strong, healthy lungs. Soldier. Soldier. Bah. Soldier. Hello? Can you hear me? I'm getting another call. Listen, soldier, just keep playing the horn and I'll get back to you. Sorry about that. Quiet all day, and then everyone calls at one time. Okay, let's see here. Tell me when you can hear me. How about now? Hello? Hello? Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, my children.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, children. There's girls and boys, well, you know you're the choice. I'm looking through for yourself so you can bite off my toys. Just come down and we'll have to jump around and some laws. I never lie to you, you know I die for you. Yeah, I love you too. So just do what you do. Consume that, gobble it up. Come on, show me some love. I'll be pulling you on. I'm lying through my teeth to get everything I need. I'll be what you want me to be. That's why I'm dancing, dancing.
I read the Gazette to catch up on the news. Some classified adverts I chanced to peruse when I saw a category called steampunk. I turned to it eagerly but left in a funk, for I quite enjoy the steampunk aesthetic, but what I beheld there was rather pathetic. These intrepid online auctioneers have just taken modern objects and stuck on some gears. It's simply not cricket, so it shouldn't be done, but it's clear how their thoughts had run. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. But it got even worse than that, I'm afraid, and as I went on, I became more dismayed, for they often didn't modify the things they wanted me to buy. Heavens to Betsy, I'll end up on regressing. Steampunk is more than a mere mode of dress or decoration, so it brings me some distress to see a metal cicada described with that name. Or a teacup, a mood ring, a silver gilt frame. Gluing on gears at least takes effort. This is sloth of the worst. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Steampunk refers to a type of science fiction about alternate past, not future prediction. Often set in Victorian Britain, but the history of technology has been rewritten. So put a bit of thought into your designs. Use leather and brass, 19th century lines. Retrofuturistic is a good explanation. Blend antique reality with imagination. But calling things steampunk to try to sound cool makes you look like a bloody fool. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay. Gauges and rivets, copper tubing and glass lend a steampunk creation a real touch of class. Gears are appropriate to introduce if they look like they have a legitimate use. Although Nixie tubes are undeniably splendid, they date from long after the age of steam ended. Pity really, I just love Nixie tubes. Anyway, I hope you've comprehended. So use the word steampunk correctly, old chap, and don't use it to refer to crap. Just glue some gears on it and call it steampunk. That's the trendy fashion nowadays. A copper-painted chunk of some 1980s junk will fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, don't learn electrical safety by accident. Give me the number for 911. So, what we're talking about here on the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com is a whole lot about a whole lot of nothing. That's for this point in time, I guess. What do you think, Randy? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm using my mic so I can do some testing. I'm just working and talking on the show at the same time.
Oh, I see.
So I don't want to break your conversation there, but testing out this needs coffee warmers that you stick right, you plug into your cigarette lighter, you stick it right down into your coffee submersible.
Yep.
And they heat up your coffee, get it nice and warm, right? No, they don't. They get it so hot you can't drink it in less than a minute.
Oh, yeah, I know which ones you're talking about. I got a couple of those.
Unbelievable. In fact, I just did a soap test this morning, In 2 minutes, I heated up a quart, that's 2 pounds of water, 10 degrees exactly, in 2 minutes. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of heat and a lot of BTU. So if you use it, these things on a vapor carburetor, which I'm working on now,
yep,
you're not going to be able to just hook it up. You're going to have it on that. Otherwise, it will boil the gas that you do not want. You want the gas hot enough to vaporize when you pass some bubble air through it. So it will have to be on a thermostat.
Yeah, so, you know, that project that you're working on right there, that's just a prime example of what we mentioned too earlier about all these ideas that we keep sharing with each other and people out there. And that's the whole deal, man. There's a research and development group in every single major corporation out there. They hire people just like us, but more likely guys and gals that have been to college that electrical engineering and such, that they sit around and they troubleshoot and they design and use CAD programs and have access to tools and technology to build things right there on the site, which now the company owns, you see? And so, with that said, the people out here in the general population, if they really want to get things done and move technology forward or whatever, then we need to start building shops like that. You see what I mean?
Yes, we do.
And we do. To some extent, you know, on a small scale, there are those of us out there who are doing just that. You know, it's just that it's not... We woke up in the same world we went to sleep in yesterday, Raymond.
Yep. Yeah, we did.
Now keep thinking, I'm going to wake up and tomorrow's going to be different. This world, maybe aliens are going to land on my yard and they're going to share technology with everybody. But then common sense kicks in and I say, if I was an alien, I wouldn't give this planet anything. Except tips and advice.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
It'd be the same thing. Think about this, then psychologically, it'd be exactly the same thing as us walking out into a pasture trying to grow grass to feed our cattle, and here we've got all these fire ants attacking the baby cows.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, these suckers are hurting us. They're not even food. We need to destroy them. And that's exactly the way aliens would look at us.
Yeah, and then go out there and try to have a conversation with physics with that herd of cows.
Right.
Well, yeah. I'm not trying to knock mankind. I'm just trying to ask the question is why, with all the knowledge that we've got, I mean, it's so simple in my mind. I don't understand what it is. But with all the knowledge that we've got, why can't we make sure that people in this world don't have to deal without? Why is there still... I mean, go around and look all over America and different places in the world right now. You'll see hunchbacks walking around with cell phones playing Pokemon Go and stuff. And, you know, it's just like walking technical zombies, so to speak, man.
Yep.
Is that rude or what? Should I have not said that? But, you know, sometimes truth hurts.
Yeah, it does.
And if you got that access to that technology in your hand, and you're talking about you care about the environment, you're talking about you care, you want to save the planet, you know, from so-called carbon emissions and stuff like that, but yet you're out there in the middle of this huge protest with this doggone camera filming all the violence and trash that's been thrown all over the place and all the craziness going on. And what have you done, literally, to clean up your environment? Really, I don't see nothing, because you're still holding that cell phone that industry made. You're still putting radio waves out there in the air while you're transmitting this stuff. And you can't necessarily be working in harmony with nature as long as you're standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign and hollering to save the trees. I just don't get it, man. Unless... I must have lost my mind at some point in my life, and I must have got this crazy idea that, like, Nikola Tesla wanted to give the world the clean, free, renewable alternative energy so that there wouldn't be no reason to fight over oil. But he did that in what year? You know? Back in the 1800s. He didn't die until the early 1900s. And he gave the world something that they could have utilized that could have benefited all of mankind. Instead, people decided to try to figure out a way to make a weapon out of it. People tried to figure out a way to make money off of it. People tried to do everything contrary to what it was, the purpose that he was wanting to share this with the world from the get-go. You know what I'm saying?
Greed,
stupidity, lack of common sense. So, I just have to ask these questions. As painful as they may be, I gotta ask them. So, Raymond, any thoughts on the matter?
You're on the right way. You allow me to come in and say what I need to say, and not correct you, but try to make it more clear so that people understand what you are trying to say. I mean, I'm getting confused in that. How could anybody be a troll and knock you down for what you're trying to do? I can't understand that. It just plain flabbergasted me. I mean, you spend your own money, you talk to people, you try to bring good ideas out, and then you got these buttholes that don't understand what it is you're trying to do, you know? They need to understand before they open their mouth. I'm like you, I'm sorry to get confused.
Well, that's the whole thing. And so I look out there in the alternative energy world, and I spread the call out to all my brothers and sisters out there doing research. There's some amazing people out there, man. There's some folks that really have some artistic talent, and they have, really good outside-the-box free thinking, just ways that they live their life. And I know that we can't necessarily bring everybody together physically sometimes because of financial issues, because we're not funded like the major corporations and research facilities. And so we kind of rely on each other to help one another get from point A to point B and materials that we need. And we actually do kind of have a community going on. But to take it a step farther, to actually try to think that maybe someday we could actually get out there and really change the world on a mass scale by showing people how to do things, I'm starting to wonder about. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I'm giving up. I'm just saying that without people's help in this world, there's no spread the message. You know, without people talking to social media networks and friends and saying, hey, look what these guys are researching, man. This could actually help us out in, reducing our electric bill or our carbon emissions. These guys got all kinds of ideas. Let's support these individuals. Nah, Pokemon Go's got the attention of the crowd right now. Do you even know what that is, Raymond?
No, I don't.
Well, you stand there with your cell phone. It's got a GPS system locked in. And wherever you walk, you can literally see where you're at, like a sky view or a street view. You can see yourself walking around out there searching for the virtual Pokemon that you got to try to capture to win points or whatever. And so not only are they tracking your every move, but they're mapping out all the different places that you go in your community. So when it's all said and done, if you ever want to see what's going on in the world, just jump on Google Maps and you can literally see who lives where and who's standing where at any given time. And so if you like don't like government spying on you, well, then you shouldn't be playing Pokemon Go, that's for sure, because now you not only gave away your position, but you just mapped out your entire house for them as well.
Yeah.
They want a map of your eyeball. They want a map of your genetic code. They want a map of your house. They want cameras facing you at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They want to know what you're doing, what you're saying, where you're at, what you believe, what you're eating, and so on and so forth. Everything about your life is becoming more and more available to the people out there who need the information to keep you enslaved in a world such as the one we live in today. And still, with all that technology and capability to literally spy on you at an alarming pace and document everything you do and say, if you ever want to go back and re-watch your life to see where you've been and what you said and what you did, well, just ask the government for a copy of the videotape, man. Seriously, because if you think they ain't tapped your phone and you think they ain't tapped your cameras and you think that there's something you do in your own house that you don't want the whole world to know, well, this technology out here can be your best friend or your worst enemy. That's all I'm saying. But the fact that we have access to this technology and the government has access to this technology and the world as a whole has access to this technology, and there's still supposedly a child sitting in the dirt with flies on his face, diseased and hungry, with no home, it is flat out sickening.
Yes, that I agree with.
If we can't get over there and feed these folks, instead we got to go over and worry about somebody else's political or religious view and bomb them into the Stone Age and argue with them and all this kind of jazz, then we as humanity have failed. So why would any alien race want to come down and even remotely have a conversation with people like us? That sounds harsh, don't it?
Yes, it does.
But it's true. It's true. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is painful to listen to. You know, I know that there's a lot of good-hearted individuals out there in this world who really seriously want a better world, and they really seriously try. I want a better world. What about you, Raymond?
Heck yes. I hope I can see a better world. I'm not going to live long enough to enjoy it. The fact that I was still alive when we did it and started helping the world, yes, and started making it better.
Yep.
Yes, yes. Why do you think I've worked so hard in my laboratory trying to check on this and check on that and see how to do this? I'm 72 years old. Yesterday was my birthday, okay? I'm not going to be around a lot longer, but I'm going to do everything I can to help humanity. I don't want to die. I don't need any money at all. I'm not looking for a financial future. I've already got it.
You know, folks, Raymond could go out fishing. He don't have to be here.
Yeah.
Actually, none of us actually have to be here. I mean, we do this because we actually got a concern that our children and our children's children's future ain't looking very good with the so-called leadership at the top. So the men who have studied and researched and really care step up to the mic and they start telling everybody there is a better way if you choose it. You know, if you sit around in your communities and you listen to the elders talk, and you'll find out that there are certain paths that you don't want to go down because they always end up in destruction. You'd be surprised at how many young people will actually still go down that path just to be rebellious. You know what I mean? That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And so, here we are on the Mad Science Show, trying to make sense of it all again. There's tons of technology that we've talked about time and time and time again, and some folks even go as far as to say, all you're doing is repeating yourself. Really? Well, then, have you used any of this stuff to build anything that we've talked about? Do you have anything new to bring to the table of all the ideas that we've offered to share with you? Have you created anything? And the answer is always complete and utter silence as they scurry off into the darkness again. What do you think?
I know you're right. Okay, before anybody calls me a liar, I need to make a statement here. I said that in 2 minutes I raised the temperature of a quart of water 10 degrees. Well, it was 3 minutes. I just redid the same experiment, and it's 3 minutes to raise 32 ounces of water, and the whole thing is the latent heat of water and latent heat of gasoline are way different, so you really don't need all that much heat. So that little $2.49 toy to heat your coffee is more than sufficient to run a small motor. Now you probably need 2 or 3 of them to run a V8. But a six and a half horsepower on the engine cools the gas, a pint of gas, 2 degrees per minute. And this thing will put out more heat than that. It keeps the gas warm. She's still going to need to put it on some of that. Let's get back to you.
So I'm thinking that with this technology that we've been talking about, just in the internal combustion engine realm alone, if you can get an internal combustion engine to run off of hydrogen technology, which I know that can be done, it needs to be engineered properly so that everything is at the right temperature and pressure and so on and so forth, but it is not beyond the realms of doability in the average community. I mean, I'm saying that the average Joe and their researchers can get together in their own garages and personal shops and literally design and build things like this to actually make this a reality. So now you have a car or a motorcycle or even electric generator that will literally run itself on water. And it can be done. Farmers used to burn hydrogen in the tractors. They'd get the tractor up to operating temperature, and they would burn the water in the tractors to save on fuel. All right, so this isn't rocket science we're talking about. It's not new technology. It's been around for so long, but it hasn't been refined for the general public, but has been refined in other portions of the world. There are cars right now that are literally running on hydrogen. There's cars, there's trucks, there's basically forklifts and all kinds of machinery out there that are literally running on hydrogen. All right, and there are equipment out there running on natural gas, propane, and whatever. So it's not like none of this technology is new. It's not like it can't be done. To get it out on the market is in my view right now, a losing cause. If you're out there and you're deciding you're going to want to get filthy, stinking rich off of some alternative energy device, you're going uphill on your journey. And I hope that you succeed, because I'd love to see it get on the market. But the the hurdles that you're going to have to cross to make that happen, they're going to be great. And when you do succeed, you will be able to say that you literally did something beyond amazing, because the average Joe can't usually succeed to that extent. However, on a smaller scale, if you can reduce your electric bill by doing some of these processes that we're talking about, by adding a little bit of solar to your house or the way that you use your electricity or whatever, then you take that money and you can reinvest it into whatever else it is that you need. You see what I'm saying? That's only common sense, Raymond. I'm not talking like something that people can't do.
you know exactly what they should do. I mean, nobody's got enough money to, well, the average person, let's put it that way, got enough money to buy a solar panel, inverters, batteries, blah, 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 blah. I mean, a super system costs a lot of money. Start slow and build.
Yeah, even if it's only one light bulb a month that you take completely off the grid, you know, and you got a rechargeable battery that the sun is beating down on a little tiny panel that charges up, but you use that one light bulb religiously all month long without you ever turning on the other light bulb in the room that runs on the grid, that's got to save you money. I mean, it has to save you something. You know what I'm saying?
It's a thing. I know exactly what you're saying.
So, if you start off with that concept right there, you know, my grandpa and my grandma and all them, they used to continuously holler, turn off the lights. Make sure when you leave the room, you turn off the light. Don't leave the lights on. You're raising up my electric bill. I used to hear that all the time, man.
Hey, that's back when the electricity was like 3.5 cents a kilowatt.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, folks.
Well, I tell you one thing. If my grandfather would have got one of my modern light bills, my grandfather would have had a stroke. He'd have shut the power off himself. He'd have been out there with a hatchet chopping down the light pole.
Yeah.
That's the way that would have went down. But, you know, you see that year after year, the electric bills and costs keep going up. It's some of these bills out here are worth, like you said, totally unheard of 50-some-odd years ago. You know? And here we are. And they keep on saying that, like Obama said, under my electric plan, electric bills will necessarily skyrocket. We'll run the coal industry out of business, so to speak. What do you think?
You know, as far as what you said, my electric plan, Obama's electric plan, I mean, Obama had the plan of distributing the wealth, redistributing the wealth, and sharing, and this, that, and another. And there was a, what do you call him? A kid who was in college and studying finances, you know, economics. And he talked to his professor one afternoon after college was out. And asked his sir, he said, I really don't understand Obama's share of the wealth and so forth. Said, how exactly does that supposed to work? And anyway, the professor said, I'm busy right now. Come over to the house Saturday and I'll explain it to you while I'm doing my chores. So Saturday comes, the student went over to the professor's house, and the professor said, come on with me. So they went to the backyard, and there were 4 5-gallon buckets at the end of the shallow end of his swimming pool. He said, just do what I did. So the professor filled up the 2 5-gallon buckets and started walking down toward the deep end, and so the kid picked up 2 buckets and did the same thing. And then walked down to the deep end, and Professor poured his in the deep end. And so the kid poured his in. They went back down shallow end, same thing. 2 or 3 trips, and the kid stopped and said, Professor said, I don't understand, what are we trying to do? He said, we're trying to take water from the shallow end and make the deep end deeper. And he said, sir, that won't work. He said, now you understand Obama's economic plan.
Yeah.
You fairly understand that if you help that professor and try to get that deep end deeper by taking water out of the shallow end, then you fully understand if you don't believe it'll work. Now, if you do believe it'll work, then you're an Obama advocate.
Well, and I'm saying that if these people really, really seriously wanted to get something accomplished, it would be people like us that they would need to be supporting. And we're not talking, we're not asking anybody out there for anything. We're not asking for anybody for any money. All we're asking for mind power, you know. Get together with your research and share with other researchers. That's as simple as that. But you're not going to get industry or government or any corporation to give you anything. Nothing. It's all for sale. But if you want things done, what's the old phrase there, Ryan?
What's that?
If you want things done, what's the best way to get them done?
Do it your daggone self.
Yep.
You want something done, delegate. If you want it done correctly, do it yourself. That's the problem.
Well, I tell you what, man. This mad science show is very, very interesting sometimes.
Yes.
I'm going to try. Let me see. I got somebody talking to me right now on Skype. And I need to see if they want in on this conversation. And I believe that their language barrier might be just a little bit different. All right, so anyway, you got all kinds of racket going on in your background, and I'm sitting here trying to text people, and we're leaving the listener hanging. All right, so look, woke up this morning, I was still in the same place that I was yesterday. I looked out there into the YouTube world, and of course I did mention that my alarm clock, I didn't hear my alarm clock, so 1 minute prior to the show, bam, I had to figure out whether or not there was even going to be a show. So, there's folks out there that are doing all kinds of interesting research into all kinds of different alternative energies and kind of like rediscovering some of the older sciences and working their way from there. There are possibilities in wind and solar and hydro, electrics, thermal electrics, and whatever. It just goes on and on. And right now, we got, there's news out there, like Turkey right now. There's supposedly a takeover attempt in Turkey, and there's riots, and police beating each other up over in the United States, and all kinds of news out there. That's craziness going on all over there in the world. There's, presidential elections, the scandal after scandal, craziness. And the average Joe is playing Pokemon Go. Sounds like common sense to me. I think that we need a different view. This person that I'm talking to on the Skype chat has a bad connection, so I'm not going to be able to add them to the show. Sorry there, that stinks. Alright, so anyway, what do we do about it? How are we going to fix all this stuff right here? There are tons and tons of information out there, and to get tons and tons of information to each other, that's what the old social media networks are good for. I mean, government's going to spy on you regardless of what you do. I mean, it's like blatantly obvious. All you got to do is look and see who's listening, and you'll find out. Hey, when you got a cell phone with a camera on it, and you got a computer with a camera on it, and you got basically it goes back into the old camera and the converter box conspiracy. It doesn't matter if you got a camera and converter box, because man, everywhere you go, you're on candid camera. You go to the store and somebody's watching you. You go out there in public, somebody's watching you. You go driving down the road and somebody's watching you. And even when you think you're out in the woods, somebody's watching you. It don't matter, because satellite technology, drone technology, we're living in a world of extreme technology. And wait a second, somebody got to answer this doggone question for me before I get freaking riled up. Why is there still a baby in this world without food in its belly? That's all I'm saying. That's why I call it mad science. That's why I rant. That's why I get crazy. That's why I get just totally irate when I get trolls that run by and tell me how stupid I am. when you're standing there with a cell phone in your hand and you've been to college and you're sitting there holding a paper sign with a wooden stick and you're sitting there saying, save the freaking trees, and I'm looking at you like, what the heck are you talking about, save the trees? You got one in your hand there, idiot. Hey, Raymond, I can't help it. That's why I call it mad science. I can't help it. It's so incredibly frustrating that every so often a man has just got to vent. And so we come together, we put the call out. Come to the microphone, join us around the round table. Let's all get this world resolved. And when I wake up in the morning and I look out there to see what's going on in the news and how much better the world's gotten from yesterday, what do I see? What do I see? I see people over there in Turkey fighting each other. I see people over in the Middle East fighting each other. I see people over there playing Pokemon Go and people out there doing all kinds of crazy throw a condom on your head challenge, crazy just nutty stuff. You know, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, people blowing each other up, people doing stupid stuff, cops beating citizens toothless and vice versa, people shooting each other, and we ain't got nothing resolved that we had problems of yesterday.
Yes, go back on the satellite camera thing and surveillance. You know, I heard a lot of complaints about Big Brother's watching you, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? They're just trying to catch somebody breaking the law. Don't break the law. I don't worry about Uncle Sam, the government, or anybody watching me because I might be breaking the law because I do everything I can not to. What I do, what I really kick me off is all these advertising people that use the internet to judge what you're buying, when you're buying it, who you're buying it for, blah, blah, so they can send you advertisements. I get 60 to 70 emails a day, every 24 hours, on two email sites. Of all of them, six or eight might be business or family related. The rest are nothing but just bull crap advertisements.
Yeah, and you hit a key point there, Brandon, because back in the old days when hackers wrote viruses, they wrote viruses to basically bash your computer. Now they don't do that because it's not profitable to bash your computer. It's more profitable to put adware and spyware on your computer because knowledge is a valuable commodity to all these businesses out there. So if they can get your information, you can get the email in your spam box. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these guys figured out a way to take their skill instead of trashing your computers, make some freaking money with it.
Right. And they don't even sell anything except your email address.
Yeah.
They want to send you advertising for a particular product.
That's the whole key, man. Why do you think I keep on repeating myself? That's why they call it mad science, man. You talk about global warming, then why aren't you doing something about it? Wait, man, look, they got electric cars out there that are amazing as far as power-wise. You know, I got a motorcycle sitting in my basement that's built out of, basic junk, but it's a self-charging motorcycle. It needs to be refined. It needs to have a carbon fiber or, a really good light aluminum alloy frame. It needs to have certain lighter elements to it. The batteries, instead of having 20-pound batteries, three of them, I could turn those batteries into boost caps and make them even lighter. But essentially, it's a 36-volt system working side-by-side with a 12-volt system, and both of these charge at the same time independently of each other. I'm running a 36-volt floor buffer motor off of it and charging a 12-volt with a 12-volt generator, charging one of those batteries independently, running not one but two red line generators that are 12 volts to 120 volts at 500 watts apiece. And so I'm getting out more power than I actually need to actually run that bike, and I still haven't put every other a charging system on that doggone bike. Now, if this thing was refined, you would have a motorcycle that you could drive all the way around this planet on pavement or whatever, dirt, maybe even go a little bit more crazy and make it where you can drive straight across the freaking water, for Pete's sake, to the other side. But either way, you would have a bike that, well, you could drive anywhere you wanted on this planet without ever having to stop to charge it up, without ever having to fuel it up. And it is not science fiction. It is science fact. It's just, it needs to be refined. That's it. It needs to be lighter. Right now it's too heavy, and it's using lead acid batteries. How much more simple can it get? You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, could you imagine if in 1969 they had a couple, let's say, 750 cold cranking amp lead acid batteries in their backpack walking on the moon for a couple hours? You know, somebody's going to have a bad back. All right, so tell me then what kind of battery pack or power cell and how exactly did it function? Can we replicate it today? Because it worked really well back in 1969 when they traveled the moon.
There you go. I mean, in history, there's been many, many, many times that mankind itself, worldwide, has gone backwards in technology.
Yeah.
So what did we just do in the past 50, 60 years? We went backward, folks.
Yeah, but see, the industry that actually making money out there, as far as the electronics that you buy, everybody's electronics junkie, man. You got all kinds of access to really cool electronics. Alright, they're making money hand over fist. While you're buying their product and making money hand over fist and playing Pokemon Go, you're helping them advertise. You're helping them make even more money by they actually pay people to fly airplanes over properties in every county so that they can take pictures of it and get an aerial view of property so that they can map it out and let everybody know who owns what and what's for sale and where it is and all that kind of stuff. So do you realize how expensive it is for airplane fuel for somebody to actually get into like a little Cessna with a whole bunch of cameras and fly over the top of people's property to take pictures, to map everything out? That's a pretty chunk of change on a daily basis. But corporations do this. And you get on Google Earth and go, or Google Maps, and actually you can go street views of somebody's property. You can look right at the front of their house as if you're standing there. Somebody took that picture, alright? And now, with your Pokemon Go, you're running around taking more pictures for it. So it's going to get better and better to where it's a serious 3D view, man. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go, man. Once again, corporations are making a lot of money. The people are paying a lot of money. Your light bill's still coming. And before I croak, my ultimate goal is to give everybody free energy, at least the knowledge of how to do so, to prove it, at the very least, to prove it. And I think that we've actually more than proved free energy time and time again, but until it actually gets down into a working physical device that is irrefutable, that people can run their test on to say that, look, hey, this ain't costing nobody nothing to run. You're not putting any gasoline into that solar panel. You're not putting any gasoline into that wind generator. That hydroelectric generator, it's not using no gasoline yet either. The thermoelectric generator, nope, no gas. The earth battery technology coming from the dirt, nope, it still ain't using no gas. And it goes on and on and on. Piezoelectrics, you just look out there in the alternative energy community and you're going to find so many different methods for which to generate electricity, and you will also find the trolls out there saying, well, solar power is so inefficient and it just doesn't work because of this and that and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, it's aggravating. It's all get out. Well, if you know it ain't working because it has losses due to heat, then strap some doggone aluminum pipe or copper pipe or something around the back of that thing and take that heat away and use that heat for something else. You see what I mean? The internal combustion engine, take the radiator off of it and run it for a while and see what happens to that motor.
You know, when you start talking about trolls downing us for free electrical energy and this, that, and other, sometimes I just want to bust out laughing. Sure is. That's why I started Boomtown Power and Light. We make electricity, sell it to the grid, so the trolls out there can pay me, and I can make money off of this non-believing trolls.
Yeah.
Sometimes it really irritates me when they jump on you really hard, but other times, some of the things they say, I almost want to laugh, you know?
Yeah, you got to sometimes.
The trolls. As long as there's trolls, there'll be the grid. As long as there's the grid, people are going to have to buy electricity if they want it. Because there's people that don't live in a place where they can put up solar panels or put up wind turbines. But they can invest in somebody like me, for example, or somebody else that's making electricity, that's selling it to the grid. Invest with these people. There's a guy in Glen Rose, Texas, name of John Huddleston. He's got a 40-acre farm. He has tried his best to cover the whole damn thing, with solar panels. And he's doing a great job. And nobody so far has even offered to invest with him. And I know he would love to entertain the idea if somebody wanted to invest with him. So you live in an apartment complex. You can't have solar panels. You can't have a wind turbine. But you invest with John Huddleston and or me, and it doesn't matter who it is. But at least you'll make some money by making and selling electricity and offset your own electric bill. We're talking about alternative energy? No, we're talking alternative ways of life. And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, here's another little crazy idea that a lot of folks probably haven't even considered. We talked about piezoelectric crystal technology, and we talked about thermoelectrics and stuff like that. Do you realize that you could literally build a welcome mat that you could put out in front of your door that every time, like say, the mailman or anybody came to visit and stepped on that thing, it sent a little charge out to a capacitor bank? And not only that, while it's sitting out there in the sun, it has thermoelectrics built into it that work off of a temperature difference between the temperature of the ground and the temperature on the side that the sun's on. And it's also producing a little bit of energy. So now you got this nifty little welcome mat right outside your front door that's actually charging the battery up. Alright? And so I sit there and think, with all these different people hollering about how you can't put solar panels up in certain areas because they don't look pretty or whatever, or you can't put windmills up in other direction, necessity is the mother of invention. So if you want to really have alternative energy, if you want a wind turbine, look up on your roof, man. What do you see on your roof? There's these nifty little squirrel cage things that look like fans going on all the time. Sometimes they're turning even when it ain't windy out there. Why is that? Huh? That's because when the heat in your attic is rising, it's producing a draft out of the vents on the side of your house, taking all that heat out of the roof of your house and pushing it out into the atmosphere to keep your house from rotting from the inside and out and to be able to reduce your electric bill. So, with that said, in your attic, you literally have a solar dehydrator where you can dehydrate food in your attic because it gets so doggone hot up there. You can literally turn your attic of your house into a thermal electric generator that would provide enough electricity to do things that you need to do, such as running light bulbs and potentially some fans here and there. There are all kinds of low-powered electric devices out there that could be run without ever having to plug them into the power grid, just running off of what nature does best. Because when it's sun shining outside and all that heat is piling up on your roof, it's got to go somewhere. All right, it's going to take the path of least resistance. And if the path of least resistance is through your ceiling and down into your living room to fight with your air conditioning, well, then guess what? Your electric bill's going to go up because now your electric air conditioner has to work twice as hard in order to be able to function properly to keep you cool. It's simple. It's simple science. You could literally build the perfect house, that a perfect energy efficient house that would never lose its cool air. If you kept it cold in there, you want it to stay cold, think about the old technology back in the old days whenever they had a thermos that they carried around their coffee or their cool drinks in there. Hours and hours after that coffee was put inside that deal, you break the cap on that thing, pour you a cup of coffee, put it up to your lips, and then holler, "Wow, that's hot." Am I wrong, Raymond? Do you ever remember doggone thermoses being that good? Are you still there, brother? I think they they ran off with Raymond. The aliens came down and they took Raymond.
Yeah, but I fought them and I got one way. They come vacuum from it.
Yeah.
That is the absolute best insulator between hot and cold.
Mm-hmm. And we got triple pane, double pane, single pane, triple pane, and how many ever panes of window that you want. Imagine a house that was insulated with the best R-factor insulation, with just perfect windows where you're not losing any heat if you want to keep the heat, and you're not losing any cool if you want to keep the cool. Now your doggone heating system doesn't have to work so hard in order to function. So it ain't like we can't.
You know, if you take a quart jar full of water, heat it up, say 150, 180 degrees, tie a string around it, put it inside of a gallon jar, put the lid on nice and tight, put a vacuum pump, and pull a vacuum inside that gallon jar. I mean a super vacuum, like 3 to 5 millibars.
Yeah.
Put that gallon jug in your freezer, in your deep freeze at home. Go back 3 or 4 days later and use a laser thermometer and check the temperature of that water. You're going to find you haven't lost more than 2 or 3 degrees, if that much. Vacuum is the absolute perfect insulator.
Well, there you go, man. That's like, it's not like we can't, you know. It's not like we don't have the technology to do it.
Thermos bottles, not bottles, but drink cups and all of styrofoam this and styrofoam that and this plastic and that plastic, thinking it's a good insulator, and it is, but it's not as good as vacuum. And the old thermos jugs, just years ago, were a vacuum pack. You put the lid on that thing, that liquid was surrounded by half-inch layer of vacuum. You find
that was me. I'm trying to get a link for somebody.
I remember the old Stanley quart vacuums of bottles, and I took my coffee at 5:30 in the morning. When I'm taking my lunch break at 12 o'clock, that coffee, I've got to let it set for a minute or two when I pour it in the cup to cool off, otherwise it's going to blister my mouth.
Yep. When I think about all this stuff, I don't know, man. Somebody was having trouble with being able to hear the show, so I sent them another radio link. There's all kinds of radio links out there, folks, if you're having trouble basically listening in. Just Google it up and you'll find tons of different networks that you can listen in on. But, so, you know, basically what I'm trying to tell everybody out there is that, you know, if you want clean, renewable energy, you're going to have to go out there and get it yourself. I mean, it's kind of like anything else in this world. If you want it done, you got to get up and do it yourself, because we're not getting any cooperation from any government, that's for sure. We're not getting any cooperation from any corporation or the electrical industries out there. See, now, on one hand, you'll have the light company, they send me this deal saying that I use such and such percentage more than all my neighbors. You know, I'm the highest electric bill in my neighborhood. I'm the king of wasting electricity, according to them. All right, in my neighborhood, I'm the top dog of the law. Nobody uses more electricity than me. All right, well, you know, I got a mad science lab and a couple buildings that I run and computers and air conditioners and refrigerators and stuff like that. And so when I go off the grid, think about this and hang on to this thought. When I go off the grid, Raymond, I'm going off the grid in style. All right. Everything that I'm doing right now is intentional. I am saving all these little nifty letters that I get from the old power company saying that I'm an energy hog. And then whenever it's all said and done and I get ready to shut this power down from the grid and fire up my own stuff, then I'm going to look over there at them and I'm going to say, how you like me now?
How you like me now?
Yeah.
I do like that.
And then when I show everybody that, look, I was using, I can prove it 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt. I can prove it from the words of the electric company's own mouth. I'm using tons and tons and tons more electricity than all my neighbors combined. And now I ain't paying a doggone red cent to the power company and they don't like it. So, for all you trolls out there, stay tuned. I'm not dead yet. And when I get down to it, I'm going to do it with style. That's plain and simple as that. You know, they say if you're going to go out with a bang, right? Oh, man. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's aggravating. It's always interesting. It's never dull. There's always something going on. There's a drama in this world every day without fail. There's technology available to us that if we utilize properly, we could all get this thing done. And we could get it done in short order and move right along to something else that's more important, more relevant to the survival of humanity. But yet, here we are, day after day, we're waking up in the same reality. You know, if the Mandela effect is true and we've actually swapped dimensions and there's certain things that people remember and other people don't remember it and all that, you have to ask yourself, what was CERN messing with and how did they get a... Do you realize how many volts that 13 TeV is? Tera electric volts? They're firing that puppy up with some serious, serious, serious high voltage. The Hadron Collider, man. CERN. Look it up. Man. See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If they can generate that kind of power and afford the light bill, then somebody got some explaining to do, Lucy.
You got that right.
Who's paying that electric bill? Any ideas? Bueller? That's a reference from an old show, in case you didn't notice.
Oh, I don't want to change the subject, but I'd like to know, have you done anything with that X-15 motor lately?
Yeah, I dusted it off just the other day. But, no, as far as actually doing any videos, no, I haven't. Right
now...
You
know, I'm up to a 2.5 horsepower motor.
Yeah.
And I was turning it at roughly 650 RPM.
Yeah.
I had on a 2-to-1 reduction from the motor to the... from the gas motor to the generator, or to the X-13. I had a 3-inch pulley on the gasoline motor and a 6-inch pulley on the X-13. So the gas motor was turning 1,300 RPM, and the X-13 was turning 650, and it was putting out 100 volts even, and putting out only about 35 milliamps. But I shorted the thing completely. I mean, a dead short, like Muddy says, you know, Scott Brown?
Yep.
Put a dead short on it. Well, charging a battery doesn't look, not put a dead short on it, okay?
it only takes what it needs to charge up a little bit. But anyway, there was almost no change in the sound of that motor. There was no strain. I got to thinking that if I reversed those pulleys, I'd be running four times as fast, so I'd be getting a roughly 400 volts out of it.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying about that thing. You know, you can run that thing up to some serious RPMs, and you can raise the voltage up to a crazy amount. You know, and we did it when you was out here. We actually generated plasma in the tube with that.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't take a serious amount of high voltage in order to actually generate it to the plasma state. So that's why I keep saying that, you know, using the laws of physics where light is heat and heat is light, vice versa, then that's an energy transfer that will be basically the equivalence of what your automobile engine's doing. You know, it's generating heat. And
you or somebody else that designed electrical system that would actually jump plasma on the spark plug?
Well, I couldn't necessarily say that I would be the first to do it, but yeah, that's what I was talking about. There's actually research out there like Stan Myers and stuff doing his hydrogen dune buggy and stuff. That's how that was going about, man. You know, radio frequencies have the capability of literally ionizing inert gases, and they also have the capabilities of separating water molecules. It's at the range that these things are going through there. You can shake anything apart. It doesn't matter what it is.
Shaking the water molecules apart, breaking them down.
Yeah. And so imagine this. You've got water molecules coming through injectors, and as the water molecules are coming through there, they're coming through there in such a really fine mist where they're already broken down to a really small amount, and then you shake the crud out of that on the way by, and those molecules separate into an already heated piston chamber. What do you think's going to occur?
Yeah. Right.
All right, and so when people out there saying, well, you know, hydrogen technology just ain't good because you can't get enough on demand, it takes more energy putting in, that's because you're doing it wrong, fool.
Exactly. They're doing it wrong.
That's right.
That's why I put all this stuff here, the lights on my homemade buffer for that 6.5 horsepower Honda motor, because they're doing it wrong. I mean, okay, the mechanic says that 743 or 744 watts is the maximum you're going to get out of a 1 horsepower gasoline engine. But they're not taking consideration. You can use the pressure of the exhaust to turn a fan. You can use the heat off the motor to make more electricity. And you can actually use a dead noise. Because I have several times taken a speaker, aimed it up at one of the jets flying over my house. I just happened to live right in the landing pad, landing approach path of DFW Airport, and the planes would come down so low I could just aim the speaker at them, and it would actually start producing electricity. Anything that uses electricity to do a job, if you physically make it turn it to make it do something like it's going to do that job, it will make electricity. That's why years ago, your starter motor and your generator in your automobile were the same motor. They're the same motor. You put electricity through it, it turned, it started your motor. When you stopped putting electricity through it, the motor, your gasoline motor turned it and made electricity and recharged your battery.
Yep.
You didn't have an alternator and a starter motor. You had one.
It was also called a starter generator.
Yeah, starter generator.
And
I set a 300 to have a starter generator in it.
Yep. And, you know, that technology is not new technology, you know. That's as simple as that. But if you can do that with an internal combustion engine, you can also do that with electricity. You can refine this to its maximum potential, and you can literally build the perfect electric generator that would charge its own battery bank.
The thing is, the people out there need to start stopping and thinking. The reason they put an alternator and a starter motor in your vehicle is so they can sell you an alternator and a starter motor. and then when one goes out, they'll tell you no. Mm-hmm. Where they could build an alternator and starter motor all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason why you couldn't turn an alternator into a doggone generator.
Right.
I mean the alternator into a starter motor, because all you have to be able to do is to spin that cam in order to be able to produce the compression and then the initial ignition to run that motor. It doesn't matter whether you do it from the flywheel or the harmonic balancer, for that matter. You know? If you had a chain-driven alternator that had a motor built into it, and that chain-driven alternator would turn that shaft, you could start the thing up.
Yeah.
You know, and since they're both going in the same direction, you don't have to worry about having any kind of clutch system on this deal, because you want it to continue to spin when it finally catches up to speed.
Right.
So, it changes from a motor to a generator. They're all going in the same direction, and so now once the motor started, nothing's changed. There's nothing to bind up because it's all going in the same direction. You know, in your starter, you have what's called a solenoid that kicks out, hits the flywheel, spins it. But if that kicks out and hits the flywheel, spins it, and the motor stops, but the solenoid don't retract, well, then it'll grind your doggone flywheel gears up, and now you got to replace the flywheel and the starter in your car. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, if at the same place that your doggone starter was, you had a starter generator right there, when that thing kicked up, the gears would stay engaged, and they're both turning in the same direction, and they're both, one's used to kick it over, and the other's used to charge your battery so that you can do it again when you shut it off.
You know that 90% of all of your riding lawnmowers in the United States that are electric start, the starter motor becomes the generator once it's been running?
Well, there you go. So,
the thing is, people don't understand, you don't need a switch. You don't have to throw a switch electronically or manually to turn it from a motor to a generator. The simple fact that an electric motor, if you turn it, with electricity. Now, if you all of a sudden start turning it faster than it does with electricity, it's going to make electricity, cause it to back up and go right back into your battery.
Yep, and you could use that same exact system, and I did a video here a while back where I was turning over a little, basically it was a weed eater motor. I was turning it over with a drill and measuring the temperature, and you could see I started to inject water into it. You could see where that thing started to buck. Now, keep in mind that the motor that I'm trying to turn it over with, I'm using 120 volts AC, but it didn't have enough torque and RPMs in order to get that thing hot enough, fast enough. But there's plenty of motor technology out there to where you could literally build an electric motor that would spin that thing at such RPMs that it would create the friction inside there as you're compressing the air inside the piston, that you could literally inject straight water. And I'm not talking about like any salt added or anything like that. All right, and once that thing's up to 180 to 200 or more degrees, and you start injecting that in there, very least case scenario, when you inject your fine mist of water inside there, you get steam pressure, which is going to expand how many times its own volume?
1,600.
There you go, 16.7
times more than gasoline in there.
Yeah, 1,600 times expansion,
expansion rate
is enough to produce enough pressure to force that piston back down again.
Increase your horsepower drastically.
Yeah, and so at some point, once this temperature's all rose up and everything, and you're still injecting water in there and you need a little bit of a boost, then you throw a radio frequency up inside that doggone cylinder while that hydrogen and oxygen are floating around in there separated, and then bam, there you go, you got nitrous. So if you want to build a car that runs on water and it has a whole lot of horsepower, you listen to what we're saying and you get out there and engineer it.
Oh,
All right, now wait a minute. Let's put it in a little warning label right here, all right? We don't want somebody trying to sue us for them blowing their engine apart. Water is the most powerful substance on the face of the earth. Nothing expands as much as water when it's in search for vapor. Therefore, you can put too much water in your engine and cause it to blow the heads right off.
Well, sure you can, and you can actually cause it to vapor lock or hydro lock because you're doing it the wrong way. You don't need very much because it's powerful stuff. So anyway, the technology is like right there in front of everybody's face. If you could build a car that would run on water or electric generator that run on water, hydrogen technology would be the holy grail of what we're talking about as far as clean renewable energy. Because once you burn your exhaust that comes out the other side is basically water. That's it, you know. And so you haven't lost nothing. According to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? Seriously. You start your gasoline engine up and you produce a massive amount of heat and you waste a whole incredible amount of fuel that doesn't get burned up in the combustion cycle. And so now you take anything away from that engine, such as the radiator, the water pump, whatever. Take the oil out of it. It'll tear itself apart. It's producing so much energy that it will literally tear itself apart. And if one thing gets out of balance and you're running that thing up to serious RPMs and that vibration begins to rattle that thing, it will literally rattle that engine apart. Stuff will break. It'll fall off. Why do you think everything's got to be balanced on your car? You know, there's a harmonic balancer. There's a weighted ballast or whatever balance on your drive shafts and on your wheels and tire stuff. So this is not something that people don't know about. Physics is amazing when you know how to use it. You take that doggone little lead weight off your tire and start driving around. You're gonna shred your tire. You're gonna shred the bearings in that, because now that thing is off balance, it's wobbling, and the faster you go, the more damage it does to your vehicle. So balance is key. It's like putting the fuel into the internal combustion engines. If you ain't got the air and fuel mixture, then you got a problem, because it's going to run too lean or it's going to run in the opposite direction. You're either going to get white smoke or you're going to get black smoke, or you're just going to, you know.
Why couldn't you embed diesel crystals inside the rubber on your tires when you come?
Why couldn't you? They do it in tennis shoes.
Exactly. That's the point. Why couldn't you do it in a tire?
I mean, my God,
look at the power, the electric power generated that you would generate rolling down the road. Now, if you had diesel crystals in your tires, solar panels, flexible solar panels, and say your whole car was made out of flexible solar panels, right? And you have diesel crystals at every point of I'm getting old.
You got the shock absorbers vibrating.
Shock absorbers, your springs, your everything, man. Every part that moves and flexes on the car. Everything that moves and flexes.
And if you're not using a hub motor, then you have a drive shaft coming off a transmission that's turning. There is so much energy potential in every single vehicle out there. You know, I think about these guys over the Tesla deal where they're building these electric cars. And to my knowledge so far, they don't have any Tesla electric cars that recharge themselves. Because, you can't get out more than you put in. It takes more to do this, blah, blah. I keep hearing this all the time. Give me one of those cars. Take all the batteries out of that doggone thing. Give me one of those cars.
They have rallies every year, big rallies in different countries where people build cars supposedly that will run on solar. And some of them do very good. But what if they put diesel crystals in the tires? Then they would get even more. I guarantee you could probably run a car with just a few solar panels and diesel crystals and filter devices, whatever. I mean, come on, folks.
Look,
I mean, you wouldn't even need a fuel tank. You would not even need a gas tank.
You can build a printable circuit board with silicon and stuff like that, and In reality, if you really wanted to seriously take thermoelectrics to its fullest extent, you could build a 3D printer that would literally print out your paint job on your car, tiny little thermoelectric deals, and then paint the top of that car any dark color you want. And as the sun is beating down on that, it's producing the energy. Plus, embedded into the rest of the body, like you said, flexible solar panels. Now you got that producing electricity inside the window shade of your doggone windshield. Same thing, same concept. In the tinting of your windows, same concept. You know, see-through solar panels that you can see outside, but it blocks the heat from coming inside. You're sitting on that car. You're sitting on the seats, which are bouncing up and down every time you hit a bump.
Oh, wait a minute. You just said something. Oh, my God. you plan on putting something in the windshield that'll make electricity, but yet you can see through.
Yeah.
It's going to block the sun so that your inside of your car doesn't get so hot, but you're going to be running your air conditioner, which is going to be even cooler. And I've said this 3 or 4 times on the show, if you cool the backside of your solar panels, they will increase their efficiency anywhere from 15% to 20%.
Yep.
But there you go. You got your windshield made like a solar panel, but yet you can see through it, and you're running your air conditioner so you can be cool, but you're making even more than if it was sitting still. I mean, come on, man. You probably make enough electricity to take care of the air conditioning. I mean, the possibilities are mind-boggling once you let yourself, your imagination just start to drift and run wild.
Yeah, well, we talked about, and you were actually experimenting with Peltier elements, so working off a temperature difference. Okay, if you got like a Peltier element and it's kind of like clear epoxy to the window with some sort of black material in between it that is absorbing heat, and you got your air conditioner on in your car while you're running your air conditioner, that doggone element in your window could be charging up your doggone cell phone, you know, so you could play Pokemon Go. you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So in what they would classify as waste energy, we could find tons and tons of uses for all this waste energy, all the vibrations that your car is making down the road. And if you're still at this point using disc brakes, why not take that same disc brake instead of having just the steel that they use for the disc brake in itself, embed some copper rings inside that so that as your brake shoes are rubbing across there, now you have a thermoelectric charge coming off the brakes every time you use it. Because brake, go drive your car around the block a few hundred times and then come out there and stick your finger on that doggone that brake disc.
Yeah, really.
Alright, you'll have a blister the size of Texas, I'm telling you. Those things get hot.
Real fast.
And while you're driving down the road, you got wind blowing through there. If you ever looked at a brake disc, you'll notice that at the edge of them, those aren't solid. All of those aren't solid. They have like notches down there that actually are like cooling fins that help cool down that brake lid so it don't get so hot when you're rolling down the road. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So essentially, there's a heat exchanger built into that brake system. So, you know, like I said, once again, and I've repeated this many, many, many times, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking for it, because it's all over the place. You know, they're always saying that, well, you know, there's the heat losses, you got friction and blah, blah. Well, why?
Fix it.
Yeah. If you know that something's failing because of heat, I would like to see somebody do an experiment. I'd like to see somebody get a doggone internal combustion engine and literally run the oil into a cooling system that will take that heat away so rapidly that that heat stays down to, let's say, hypothetically, 65 degrees. All right? Keep that oil at all times at 65 degrees. All right? And at the same exact time, Do the same thing with the water jacket on there. Keep the water temperature on that that same engine running at a solid 65 degrees, all right? And then put another engine side by side with it, all right? Both of these engines have 0 hours on them. You fire them up, and then you run them just as hard as one is running. You run the other. You wrap it out every so often and just simulate kind of driving, you know. And, you know, every once in a while, you see a hot girl on the side of the road, so you rev your car up, vroom, vroom, like that. You got to do that, too. All right? And just run the crap out of it. All right? And then when it's all said and done, take these things apart. And drain all the oil out of them, take them apart, and look at the oil in one pan, and then look at the oil in the other pan, look for particles of metal that have been ground off from bearings, and I guarantee you, you're going to find out the one that stayed at 65 degrees is clean oil, and the one that at the normal temperature is cruddy oil. Because you're not grinding your gears and everything, because there's no friction. There's not enough friction built up to literally start tearing apart stuff inside that engine. The moment you buy your brand new car, you instantaneously start ripping it apart. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, proper filtration and keeping it at the right temperature, you could have a hot rod that doesn't have to be rebuilt every time you drag race it. That's a fact, Jack.
By the way, get back on your water injection.
Yeah.
You know, you just a little bit of water gives you a lot more horsepower, but it'll also make your engine run a lot cooler.
Yeah.
A lot cooler.
That's the whole thing. If we know this stuff. And so why aren't the major industries out there putting this stuff to use? Why aren't they making cars that, you know, will last a long time? Go down to the Miracle Mile over in Independence, Missouri, and you'll see hundreds, if not thousands, of brand new cars on the lot. And the reason why they call it the Miracle Mile is supposedly because, according to their advertisement, that's where miracles happen. You go down there and you get a car. Well, I'd like to submit to anybody out there, if you go down there and you do get a car, it is a miracle. Because you got to have, like, perfect finance and perfect credit and lots of down payment. So it is the Miracle Mile. That's why there's so many cars sitting there. It's a miracle if anybody can afford them.
You know, she said that they could build an oil filter that you would never, ever have to add oil to your vehicle.
Yeah.
With the additives in your high detergent oils, you might have to add the lower fat. But if they didn't go to a filter like paper, and went to a centrifuge. The centrifuge would spin it around, it push all the trash out, everything, and put clean oil back into your motor every time.
Oh yeah, and there's also a process by which, like roofing companies use it. They call it a magnet bar. It's got a couple wheels on it, and you roll it across the ground, and any magnets, it'll pick, any nails or screws, it'll pick them up, and then you get to a certain point, you want to dump these off, you pull the lever, and it pulls the magnet away from the metal, and so all the, nails fall off into a pile. Well, that same technology could be expanded on to if any metal shavings did get into your oil, it gets around to a certain side on a wheel, and then that clutch, a centrifugal clutch, would pull that doggone metal magnet away from the metal and dump the metal shavings off into a container that basically moves it away from your oil or your engine.
All right, but you got one minor problem with that, and I've got the feeling that you know how to handle it. And that is a lot of the parts in the engine that wear and actually produce little chips are aluminum. How would you get them out?
Well, my suggestion would be to never allow it to occur to begin with, because aluminum is a good material, and the aluminum alloys that they got is really super strong. The only reason why they ever even get enough friction to start falling apart or slapping together is because the oil breaks down. When the oil temperature gets to a certain temperature, then the viscosities drop down to the point where now you're generating more friction on that part. You should be able to walk up to any aluminum engine block and put your finger right on it. It should just be warm enough that, you know, you can feel that it's running. That's it. But no. Way you go up there trying to do that right now, you put a blister the size of Texas, Mexico, New York, and South China Sea on the end of your finger.
Oh, you forgot Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming too, man. Put them all in there. You'll put a blister the size of the globe or the flat earth, whichever one you believe in, on the tip of your finger, because they're doing this so inefficiently, it's ridiculous.
I read somewhere that the men outnumber the women in Wyoming 5-1. They call it the land where men are men and sheep are nervous. That was a joke.
I can't help them with that. I'm sorry, I can't help them with that. But anyway, what I can help them with is some mad science. I can help them with some ideas, and I believe that there are other people out there like minds that can help each other with ideas. All I'm doing is I'm shouting through basically a sewer pipe. I'm out in there hollering down this pipe. Hello, Echo, can anybody hear me on the other side? Kind of thing, right? Well, right. I'm sitting here hollering to everybody. Come out here, get on this microphone, start talking to each other about technology, make arrangements with one another to get in each other's garages and work on projects together. Get these things into physical devices so that people can measure them, and we can basically get to a point where the trolls don't have no choice but to shut up. You know, because you can't argue with something that's right in front of your face. You know, I see it all the time. Hydrogen technology, folks. Go out there, do the basic science, look at what water is made of. Water molecules, hydrogen, oxygen, separate the two, they both burn. Alright, one is dangerous. Actually, they're both dangerous. You can start a fire with or explosion with either or, but the hydrogen is just a little more powerful, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
And so, with that said, even the recombination of the hydrogen and oxygen molecules as they come out the exhaust produces an electric charge.
Hey, you know, I just had a weird thought. What about vegetable oil? There's a tree that it's called Jatropha. The seeds that it grows a fruit that looks like a little lemon, has three large bean type seeds in it. They're 45% vegetable oil, and you can grow about they claim 600 gallons per acre in per season. In some places, if it's warm enough and there's enough water, you'll get 2 harvests a year. That's 1,200 gallons of vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is better fuel for a diesel engine than diesel fuel.
Well, see, there
diesel
you go, man.
You have to have your injectors redone every 100,000 miles because diesel fuel is abrasive. But vegetable oil is an oil and has no abrasion to it at all. Therefore, you can run a diesel engine for 300,000 to 400,000 miles before you have to do any upgrade on your injection.
Yep.
And people doing that. India, just a few years ago, finished planting 1 million hectares. 1 hectare is metric. The way they measure is 100 meters by 100 meters. It comes out 2.2 American acres. Okay? So they planted 2.2 million acres of Jatropha trees. Did that tell anybody anything?
Well, there you go. And like you said, there's a lot of stuff that has natural oils in it. There's a lot of trees. They call it the Missouri orange, the hedge tree. It produces oil. It's got oil in it. All right, there's tons.
What about algae? There's over 3,000 different types of algae. And what about the west coast of Florida in the Gulf Coast, the Gulf? Red algae every 7 years. The fishing industry dies. Why don't these people just go out there and collect all this daggone algae? What are they going to do? Sit home and watch television, not make any money? They're shrimpers, they're fishermen. They need to design their boat or something they can fasten to their boat so that when the red algae comes, they stop fishing and go collect the red algae. Red algae. Almost all algae is anywhere from 40 to 50% pure vegetable oil.
Well, you know something? You know something? Right now, we literally have every doggone piece of the puzzle. We have every answer to every question ever existed as far as technology to literally not only revitalize the Earth before we lose all the species of the Earth. We got opportunity to clean the waters up, to take away the waste products of all the industries. We have the technology to run clean, new, renewable, free energy devices. We have the technology to make engines that would last for decades. You know, outside of natural corrosion, this engine would never go bad, period. We got the technology to do the same thing with...
Some guy out in Colorado or Wyoming, I can't remember where, he got a little bit of money from somebody, some kind of grant, to experiment growing algae. This man was growing 100 gallons of diesel fuel on a half acre of ground every 7 days.
Yep. And since that's going to make...
Every 7 days, 100 gallons on a half acre. Think about that.
Yeah, since that's going to make fuel right there on the spot, you don't have to have it shipped in, so there's no diesel trucks with tanks on the back of them going from point A to point B that could wreck and cost you, you know, ecological disaster.
The only reason that anybody's making biodiesel is to make money, because you don't need biodiesel. All you need is the temperature above 70 degrees. Once the temperature gets below 70 degrees, you put a heater, an exhaust heater, in your fuel tank. That's it. That's it. Well, it's that simple.
The point is, we got all the answers to literally build things that last. And if things last, then how is that not reducing the carbon emissions that everybody keeps boo-hooing about over the false technology of global warming?
This is the big man's wallet.
That's it. It's all what it all boils down to.
Why doesn't somebody do it? Why? Because the big man won't let them. Because they lose money. It's not the government. It's the big people with money that's in power.
That's why I say, if you want it done, build it. Don't ask for permission. As long as you're not trying to sell it, they can't sock you with copyrights, because they can't do nothing if you're using it for your own purposes. You could build your own fuel systems. You could build your own hydrogen-powered cars. You could build your own generating systems. And even if you live in a homeowners association where they won't allow you to have alternative energy devices, you can hide it right underneath their nose. You can build it in the roof of your house and use the basement of your house as the heat exchanger, because your basement is cooler than your attic.
You know, that's why I love YouTube, because what I'm doing, the different things that I do, I try to show people in as much detail as I possibly can. My brother chastises me several times for going into too much detail on my videos, my science videos. But I keep telling him, no, I've got confidence because I go into so much detail. And when I do something wrong, I make a video of it, and I tell the people what I did wrong.
Yep.
So that they don't waste their time and do the same thing. Great minds say the right, well, so do dumb minds, and I'm dummy sometimes. Somebody's got an idea, but if I beat them to the punch, then they don't waste their time.
Basic science, folks. Heat rises, cold falls. If you know that, then you put your heating systems and your air conditioning accordingly. All right, that saves money on your electric bill. If you find alternative methods of lighting, think about fiber optics. Think about people in what they classify as third world countries putting water with bleach in it in a bottle and putting it up through a hole in the ceiling and getting the equivalence of a 60-watt light bulb inside the room during the daytime. You don't need light during the nighttime unless you're sleeping, you got to get up. Well, if you need light during the day, nighttime, you throw you up a little solar panel up on your roof to charge up a battery bank that'll run the light whatever room you're in, as long as you're not leaving them on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Your battery will stay charged.
And what you do is you put a waterproof LED in that bottle.
There you go.
You can put that battery on, and you still got the light.
There you go. Right there. And LEDs are already waterproof. They're made out of plastic. So You put that inside that dog, or you tape it to the side of the bottle. It's fiber optics. It will literally refract that light through the water and disperse it evenly across the doggone room. So there's a method that, in the method right there, that you could use that for lighting systems. All right? Now, it ain't that we ain't got the technology, it's just we got to get the common sense together. But you can literally pipe sunlight from your roof to your basement, all right? That's fiber optics. Look at the fiber optic cable. They don't call them cables for nothing. They go over the hill, down the river, or across the, underneath the bridge, and up under through a curve of your wall and down into your computer, and they call it riding the light, you know? Well, that's for a purpose. They send little bleeps of light out to your computer, turns back into dots and ones and zeros and such, and basically graphics on your computer. So, if it can be done on that scale, it can be done on any scale. You can get free lighting from nature, you can get free heating from nature, you can get free electricity, everything that you need, you can get free from nature. We are sitting on one massive thermoelectric generator of epic proportions, with winds in excess of, in some places, 100 to 200 miles an hour, depending on where you're at. And there are thermoelectric vents all over the planet, volcanic vents that you could actually tap into for that kind of thermoelectrics. There's an ocean that keeps sending waves in and out that you could tap into that motion. The wind's blowing somewhere. The lightning's cracking somewhere. So all over this entire globe, if you tapped in at the proper spot and you use the heat coming out of the ground or whatever, the cold on the other side, you could literally pipe energy to any place on this globe and never have to pay one red cent for any electricity outside of whatever it took you to actually get the device in place to begin with. But from that point on, the seed that you planted would benefit all of the future of humanity, because there's no longer a need to fight over what they classify as fossil fuels.
Hey, I'd like to bring up just circle tree one more time and go over a few things. Like, number one, the seeds are poisonous. Animals and men, women, children, except those grown in Mexico. Mexico is the only country in the entire world that grows jatropha trees that the seeds are non-poisonous. All jatropha trees throughout the entire world came from Mexico. Something about Mexican soil on the seeds are non-poisonous, but if you grow them anywhere else, they're poisonous.
Well, there you go.
That's number one. Number two, what was it? Oh, yeah, the main thing is that your jatropha tree will grow where corn, wheat, soybeans, and other food crops will not grow. It will grow in the middle of the desert. It will grow in the crack of a rock on a mountain. It will grow anywhere that the temperature does not get below 65 degrees. Once the temperature gets down around 50 or 40, the tree dies. It can go up to 4 years with no water. It will shed its leaves and go dormant. After 4 years, all it needs is a little bit of water, it'll come right back to life. It has an extremely deep root system, so it's pulling nutrients from way down up below, pulling them up, growing leaves with it. The leaves fall off the tree, they rot, and next thing you know, you've turned a desert into topsoil.
Yep.
Desert sand will turn into topsoil. I mean, the benefits of the jatropha tree is unbelievable. It will survive and produce a crop, small crop, but a crop on 10 inches of water a year. The Mexican desert is between 16 and 18 inches of water a year. Mexico could plant millions and millions of acres of just pure desert and this stuff, and they'd never ever have to buy another gallon of diesel fuel as long as the country exists.
Yep, man. I want to
Arizona alone.
I want to burst it.
Arizona could grow enough just diesel fuel to more to supply half of the trucks running up down our highway hauling foodstuffs to market. I mean, you know, the technology's there. The things are there. We're just not using them. Why? Because the big man wants to make money.
Well, I want
to buy. He needs to get off his wallet, buy up some desert land, and hire some people to plant some jatropha trees.
I want to burst a few people's bubbles out there. You're never, ever, ever ever going to run out of what they classify fossil fuels. It is physically impossible, unless you take all carbon-based life forms off of this planet, to ever run out of crude oil. It's not possible. It's basic science. And so with that said, these folks who own the oil industries will continue to do exactly what they do because they can sell you things at certain prices because they claim scarcity. It's not scarce. It never will be scarce. Raymond just explained to you how you could get oil out of a plant, for Pete's sake. Where do you think oil comes from? Alright? Well, the fact of the matter is, until we get people together to do exactly what we're doing right now and to start building these networks with one another and getting together in each other's labs and garages and putting these projects together and proving to the general public that this is possible, then it's never going to happen. All right? And we're going to continue to watch the amazing technology as far as your cell phone and the internet and the spy versus spy web that's out there that looks at you everywhere you go, it's going to continue to grow until eventually the power is going to be in the government's hand completely, because now you don't know. And all information is controlled. It's George Orwell's 1984. It's that simple, man.
Hey, and so, what about up north? You got a lot of oak trees. Just so the trees won't grow up there. But oak trees do, and oak has acorns. And acorns are 45% vegetable oil.
Well, it's simple, man.
Acorn, any nut has vegetable oil. Pecan, walnut, cashews, pistachios, peanuts, they all have oil, vegetable oil. You could run your car on if you have a diesel car, you could run it on peanut oil, sunflower seed oil.
Yeah, but see, look, if you can run it on water and do it efficiently and clean safely and all that environmentally friendly, then the earth is 3/4 covered in water. You don't even have to grow anything to do it.
Okay, I forgot to mention that. When you run a diesel engine on pure vegetable oil, you reduce the emissions by like 80%, man. Come on.
Yeah.
The only reason the diesel engine is so nasty is because it's burning nasty fuel.
That's right.
You put pure vegetable oil and the exhaust is breathable.
Not to mention all the additives that they put in the gasoline these days.
Right.
Detergents to clean stuff. We're sitting here telling you how you can get clean, renewable energy. It's just like this. Hey, step up to the buffet table, choose your weapon of choice, whether it's going to be peanut oil or vegetable oil or water technology or whatever. Step up to the buffet table, take something away with what we just threw out there, and run with it. Go out there and expand on it. Use it. That's it. And if you're really interested in saving the planet, then you got to get busy, man. I don't think the planet's in danger, with the exception of lack of common sense and wars and rumors and wars.
There you go. You hit nail on the head right there.
Plagues, pestilence, whatever. All I can say is that if humanity goes down, it's because the average Joe stood idly by and slept through the process. Because if you leave it in the hands of the elite of the world and the financially superior, so to speak, they're not intellectually superior than you. They're just to have more money than you. And he who has the gold makes the rules in this modern day world. They're out there blowing stuff up, and they're suckering you into going helping them do it. They're not the elite's, not the ones out there blowing stuff up and shooting each other. You are, right? And if you believe in the Creator, God said, "Thou shalt not kill." You're the one that chose to do that, so don't blame in a higher power because you went out there and went to war. It's we, the people. The power is in the people. The power is in the knowledge. The power is in you. Each and every one of you, the individual, has the choice whether or not to throw that trash out the window while you're driving down in your smog-creating car. Am I wrong, Raymond?
You're absolutely 100% right.
So if you want to fix this, if you want to fix this world, if you want to fix your wallet and all that kind of stuff, help us help you. All right, we're not asking for any money. We're not asking for you to donate anything. All we're asking for you is to take a little bit of your time and spread a link. You know, tell somebody on the social media network, have some conversations with them. Say, look, hey, I kind of overheard your conversation. You're into alternative energy. You need to go listen to these guys. They're talking some common sense.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
If you know somebody that's into this stuff, get them involved. If you're interested in this stuff, get involved. Try a few experiments. Check things out. Just be safe. You know?
Yep.
Like the video I made the other day with the humidifier when turning the gasoline and the fumes or smoke. And I deliberately set it on fire to see if it was going to blow up. I knew it wouldn't, but I just wanted to show it. And I made a video showing that. It doesn't. Because it's not confined. Gunpowder. You lay it on the ground, you put a match to it, it goes, and it burns. It does not explode.
That's why I say you got to know your basic science. If you pressurize a sealed container, overpressurize a sealed container, it'll pop. If you run your internal combustion engine really hard and never check the oil, and all that crud builds up inside your doggone motor and overpressurizes the crankcase, it will literally blow the gaskets out. You will start off with a small oil leak to a large oil leak, and eventually you'll get to the point where you'll literally destroy that engine. You'll have a cracked head because the heat is too much for that aluminum head, or the aluminum block for that matter. They put freeze plugs in the side of these motors so that during the winter time, if the water gets too cold and you ain't checked your antifreeze, that supposedly the ice, when it expands, will push that freeze plug out, and instead of cracking your block, all you have to do is thaw it out and replace the freeze plug and your motor is salvaged. Well, in some incidents, the freeze plug doesn't pop out and your block cracks. And so when you thaw your car out and start it and it starts to steam, it's because you didn't maintain it. Period. That's it. I don't know what more to say, man. Lack of common sense. We don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis.
Yep.
Free energy exists. I've proven it time and time and time again, but until I satisfy the trolls of the world and the skeptics of the world and build an actual device that everybody can sit there and tinker with and measure and try their darndest to debunk and fail, then we're going to have this debate. We're going to have this conversation, we're going to have this radio show, we're going to have this mad science show. As long as there's wars out there over crude oil, resources, food, and water, we're going to have this talk, because this is why we do the mad science show, because the ridiculousness of anybody in this world in the year 2016 dying of starvation when we live on a planet of abundancy, that you have some fat, greedy scumbag sitting on his office bench telling everybody, well, we gotta get rid of some people because we're running out of food. Well, you look pretty healthy there to me, buddy. Why don't you give some of your food to some of those folks out there that need food? Why do you need a wallet that you can't even fold in half to sit in your pocket? Why do you gotta do that whenever there's other people out there can't even afford a house? They talk about redistributing the wealth, but yet there ain't no wealth being redistributed. There's stupidity being redistributed. We got every single answer to every single question. All the pieces of the puzzle to get the big picture are available, and it's up to we the people to choose to use it. We got the power to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, and it ain't going to happen until y'all start paying attention to one another and getting together and getting it done. Period. That's it. That's Mad Science for today. You got any last thing to say, Raymond?
Nope, not really.
Alright, well, folks, you've been listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. You get to talk to Awake Radio and Shaziz Radio people at the same time. Share it on your social media networks. And tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, is the Knights of the Roundtable, and that's where, you know, everything's open for debate and discussion. And we try to throw positive pebbles out in the pond that we can make a better world for everybody. That's what the whole purpose is. And when it stops being that purpose, that's when I'm just going to have to retire from the whole yelling out there on the radio trying to get people to listen to common sense. We can fix it. We can fix it. It isn't over till the fat lady sings, is it, Raymond?
You got that right.
All right, well.
You've got a beautiful voice.
Until it's done, then we're still at work. So peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Take care.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.